Okay, last week we introduced a mitzvah, which is possibly the most difficult mitzvah and possibly the easiest mitzvah, but certainly a remarkable mitzvah. And the mitzvah was the halachta bedracha, that there is a mitzvah and an obligation, if you will, to an obligation to. Is that you? Obligation to sum up the whole hour of last week, an obligation to act like God, act like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, act like Hashem. It's an amazingly difficult mitzvah because we don't even understand what Hashem is. How can we possibly mekayim the mitzvah of a halachta bedracha if we don't understand? We don't understand what he is. On the other hand, it's possibly a very easy mitzvah, if you will, because once we explained last week that the mitzvah is based on the fact that we're all created b'tzelem Elokim. We're all created in Hashem's image. That means that it's not acting like Hashem doesn't mean that we're acting like something outside of us. But Selam Alekim Barasa Adam means that we were created, we were wired, we were designed, our whole Metzius is godly. We don't understand this about ourselves. If the Torah didn't tell us the secret, we wouldn't know it. And that we would think that we're just like a tree or like a squirrel or a pigeon or, you know, we're something like that. We're just some kind of a creation, and what do you want from us already? We're doing the best we can. But this is a distinction that the Torah makes. From the very first pasuk, that we are not the human being, not even talking about Jews, which is even higher, but the human being is created in the image of Hashem, which means not that we look like Hashem. I explained last week, it's not like Hashem looks like us. It's not like if we look in the mirror, we can't know what Hashem looks like. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, "Let me see what you look like." He said, "It's not part of the game here. It's not something like La'yirani ha'adam v'chai," which correctly translates as long as you're alive, you can't possibly see me.
In other words, we will see Hashem in the way.
Another life when we're not bound by our physical limitations, we become also somehow limitless. The answer is I don't know. That's the answer. I don't know what we see in the next world. Nobody's been here to tell me, but it's possible at least. But in this world, we know it's not possible. And how do I know it's not possible? Even a big tzaddik, even Moshe Rabbeinu, couldn't see Hashem. But so we're not talking about seeing Hashem. That's not the subject. The subject is acting like Hashem acts, and knowing that it's not something which is outside of ourselves, but it's something that we were designed to do because we were created. We were like a microcosm of Hashem, meaning that if Hashem can do it, we can do it. It's a hard thing to grasp when we take it seriously, but it means it. So last week I was pretty philosophical about this and just explained how do we know how Hashem acts. The answer is because Moshe went up to Har Sinai, and there on Har Sinai, Hashem said, "I'll tell you about myself. Let me tell you a little bit about myself," right? And he told him, he shared with Moshe his 13 attributes, which simply means his 13 major characteristics, the 13 areas which are understandable enough for us to be able to mimic him. But when we say, for instance, that Hashem has rachamim, Hashem has mercy. Okay, so we all know what mercy, we could all look it up in the dictionary, know what mercy means, but it's not good enough, it's not going to work. You need a special Tomer Dvorah dictionary to do this, because until we theologically understand the mercy of Hashem, we're not going to be able to understand what we should do. This is something we're going to go into. But the principle of last week was that we have to act like Hashem, because we're wired to do so, we're designed to do so, we are created to do so. We are B'Tselem Elokim, we're created in the image of Hashem. It means we have that same capacity on a microcosmic level. And specifically, the 13 midos of Hashem that he revealed to Moshe, saying that this is a deal breaker. If you want to come into this world, if you want, we're living in this world, and This is a gift to us that we're living in this world. The gift comes with obligations. The gift comes with the mandate to have to create something in this world better, make the world better than it was when we came in. How do we do this? We do this by acting godly. He gave us this unbelievable capacity. And the capacity, this is not just, I'm repeating it because I want it to absorb. It's not just a feel-good thing, you know, like, hey, we're like God. We even have free choice. We even have free choice. Cows don't have free choice. We have free choice. We have Bechir Chofshis. That's how godly we are. So that was the, that's what we started to speak about last week. Specifically, and now I want to get into some of the detail of this. Whereas last week we were talking a little bit more philosophically, which is easier to kind of sit back and listen. This is maybe a little bit rougher, a little more demanding. The first of the 13 midas, the first of the 13 characteristics of Hashem is what? Somebody know? Hashem. Hashem. And what's the second?
Hashem.
Hashem. So what does that mean? Hashem, Hashem. It's a double language. Hashem, Hashem. Of course, it doesn't say Hashem. We say Hashem because we don't want to say Hashem's name. What it really says in the Torah is Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. That's what it really says. And we know since we're children, we never say that out. Not allowed to say that out. So whenever you see a Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, we pronounce it Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. It's tricky. You have to be Jewish to know this. the Goyim, in fact, pronounce it Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey. We don't. But this is a very deep thing. It's a very deep thing because whenever you have, just parenthetically, a principle, there are maybe in the Chumash, maybe 18 examples of Ksiv and Kri. A Ksiv and Kri means it's written one way, but you read it another way. And it's not like a misprint. It means that there's two levels to this word. Level one is Benister. Level two is benochach. Level one is something which you don't always see. It's hidden. And level two is something that we can grasp and we can do. So, yud, hey, vav, hey, the reason we don't say it is because we can't understand it and therefore we can't really do it completely. Aleph, dalet, nun, yud, adnai, adonai is something that we can grasp and something we can relate to. So that's the case with every Ksiv and Kri. We could go through all of them and show how it's two different levels of the same name, but it would be extraneous right now. So the first midah of Hashem is Yud Hey Vav Hey, which is, you know, every name of Hashem represents a different part of Hashem. So Yud Hey Vav Hey, does anybody know that name represents? Rachamim. Mercy is generally called mercy, Rachmanus. It's spelled exactly the same in the second instance, Hashem, Hashem. So the first midah of Hashem is he has Rachamim, and the second midah of Hashem is that he has Rachamim. So it sounds redundant. Why twice? Rachamim, Rachamim. And when we read it, we also read it the same. Adonai, Adonai. So why twice? So here, the Gemara says that there's a very deep reason to this. And the reason is that Hashem has rachamim before ani Hashem kodem achet. Hashem has rachamim before a person violates the rules, in fact, violates their existence and violates their raison d'etre for being here. Hashem has rachamim. And Hashem has rachamim even after we do an aveira. So says the Gemara. Ani Hashem, Hashem is referring to two different, same characteristic, but it's at different times. Hashem, the first Hashem, is he has rachamim when we're well behaved. The second Hashem, he has rachamim even when we're not so well behaved. Think of it as a child. Like, let's say you have a child. So you have rachmanus on your child when he's well behaved. You have rachmanus on your child after he behaves. Ani Hashem, says the Gemara, lo shanisi. I don't change because some person did an aveira. Hashem stays steadfast in his rachman, but it's completely two different midos. There's a mida of yud kei vav kei before the chet, and a mida of yud kei vav kei after the chet. Everyone understand this? The same word, but because there are two different times, two different stages in a relationship, if you will, one before violation, one after violation, so then they have two different meanings, if you will, even though it's the same word with the same meaning. Hashem, Hashem. So, on this we have to ask a very simple and obvious question that we can understand. We can understand the concept of mercy. Mercy means like this. Let's define mercy for a second. Rachamim means that somebody comes and asks me for something, tzedakah. And I say, you know what? You really don't deserve this tzedakah. Every time you've gotten money from me before, you've messed up with it. you've abused it. You come and you ask me for friendship. And I say, I don't trust you with my friendship. I don't want to give you my friendship because you've abused my friendship in the past. So the person can turn up to me and say, look, hat rachmanus, have rachamim, have rachamim. Makes sense. So rachamim is an important word in that sense, because rachamim means, even though you don't deserve it, nevertheless, I'm going to do it for you anyway. Not in any type of a patronizing way, but that's what rachamim, that's the word mercy means. See, you have to always be careful, by the way, just agav, that when we daven, you know, you have to watch your words, especially when we're speaking to Hashem. Because often, like, it comes out of our mouths that we say, Hashem, please have rachmanus on us. Have rachmanus. Right? People think that way, right? Have rachmanus. We ask, Avinu av ha-rachamon. Right? Have rachman. Kerachim av albonim. Interesting, by the way, every time it talks about rachmim in the Torah, it always refers to the father, not to the mother. Kerachim av albonim. You would think the mother would be more rachmim. No. the standard wisdom is that the mother says to the kid, just wait till your father comes home. and the father comes home, and so the father says, okay, lo nora. So it's a kerachim of albanim. Actually, the father is more the bal rachamim of Pitorah than the mother. This is the way it is, and something we have to get used to. We'll just finish this, the sense of it. But the point is that we have to be careful how we daven, because the moment one asks for mercy of Hashem, you're automatically implying that you've done something wrong. Otherwise, we need mercy for it. If we're asking Hashem for chesed, be kind to me. Okay, kindness, like, go out of your way for me, do kindness for me. Mercy means that there's din. The din says that I'm chayev, and now I'm asking rachamim for the din. So the moment we ask for rachamim of Hashem, we have to be very careful with that. It has to be in the right context. We shouldn't just throw that out when it's not called for, because sometimes it's a very negative idea to imply automatically that we've done something wrong. It's sometimes it's okay. Yom Kippur, you're supposed to do that. Okay, we say we did something wrong. We say have rachamim. But in that context, it's okay. But just like this, we shouldn't ask for rachamim. We should ask for chesed. That's the klal. So rachamim, the point is that rachamim makes perfect sense to us after the chet. So meaning this, that's the second Hashem. Hashem, Hashem. I have rachamim before the chet. I have rachamim after the chet. The second Hashem, we're talking now theologically, not what we should do, but what Hashem does, is perfectly understandable. He has rachamim even after we sin. What needs to be understood here is that's already acceptable. What's the first Hashem? Why do we need Hashem to have rachamim before we do a chet? once we do a chet, we need rachmim, because otherwise we'll get an onesh, chas v'shalom. So we say, Hashem, don't punish me. My heart's with you. I'm really good. Have rachamim. Well, that makes sense. Why would we need rachamim before the chet? Why would it be important to understand that Hashem has rachamim? Ad kedei kach, that there's two middos here. Hashem, Hashem. I have rachamim before the chet. I have rachamim after the chet. What's the purpose of that rachamim before the chet? Did you want to say something? No.
Is it because even if we don't do a chet, we really don't deserve it anyway?
Why not? We didn't create ourselves.
We didn't do anything to deserve it, though.
Well, I mean, then it's not... But we don't deserve to be punished. Like, all I did was be born. Like, it's not my fault that I'm here in this world. Right? So if I'm not... I'm okay, you know? So if I'm not doing anything wrong, so we would expect that if I'm not doing anything wrong, Hashem would take care of me.
Maybe.
Why not?
We don't realize in ourselves we're at many times doing things that are, I mean there was a chet, on some level we don't even realize many of the times that we're doing.
Okay, so that's a possible answer, that it's for a chet that we don't realize, so Hashem has rachamim even before we ask him for rachamim. Possible. Yeah.
Well,
another interesting possibility. So we begin at this disadvantage. I find these things brutal, you know. Like, I'll tell you, we need rachamim before we even begin. It's like an amazing. Again, I just want to make this clear. Like, it makes sense that if a person is sitting in a trial for half a year, and witnesses and the jury and everything, and the judge says guilty, 10 years in jail. So it makes sense that, you know, to plead for mercy. That's what you do. Your lawyer gets paid. So now the next step after the guilty charge is to plead for mercy. It doesn't make sense to walk into court the first day and when the trial begins and you're coming in as innocent and say, Judge, please have rachmanis on me. That would be the wrong thing to. It's almost the negative thing to do. So you're saying, well, maybe you have something predisposed information about me, you know, from some previous life. That you have to have rachman. Possibility. Another possibility is we don't realize is the chet. Another possibility. What do you want to say? A third possibility?
Yeah. Because we're wholly dependent on Hashem. Like, basically, we can't even move or ever say anything or even breathe that Hashem. So we need to rachman on an ongoing basis.
But that's not rachman.
Sin or not?
It's not rachman. It's not the definition of
rachman. That's
chesed.
Or for the sin and we're about to commit.
You take care of your babies. Okay. So that other Rishonim say that, well, Hashem knows you're going to do a chet.
Right.
Also brutal. He knows in advance that we're going to do chet. This is philosophically untenable, though, because we have free choice. So it's.
What about we know we're fallible. We're human. We know.
We're going to do a chet. So we're starting off asking for rachman. Yeah.
Aren't
Monish
Hatarim because it's Hashem? So you say Hashem, like a double lashon is emphasizing Hashem is Hashem. He created Hatarim. Without Hashem, there'd be no chet.
True. Or there would be no us. Yeah.
There'd be no us. There'd be no mitzvahs. There'd be no veras. There'd be nothing, right? It'd be whatever we feel like doing. If we could be created without Hashem. So it's, to me, it seems like a declaration. Like, first you have to recognize this Hashem. Because it's Hashem, this Chatayim. And still, nothing changes Hashem.
But why is it called Rachamim the first time around?
Sorry?
Why is it called Rachamim the first time around? That you're saying a nupshat. The nupshat is that this is the title, Hashem. And then we say, Hashem, Kael, Racha, Mechano. But that's not what it is. It's two different mitos. We're talking about two characteristics of Hashem, not our recognizing of Hashem.
Rachamim,
two characteristics of Rachamim. A Rachamim after the Chet, which I believe we all understand. No need to. The deep Rachamim is the Rachamim before the Chet. Yeah? One more suggestion here.
So, that he's saying to us that I am a kind, not just a kind, I am a merciful father. But whatever you do, and I've given you bechira, so I understand that you may trip up. I'm going to be merciful. I'm on
so,
your side.
So, but that's very beautiful. But what does it mean? What does it actually mean that I'm going to be merciful Like, how does that mercy manifest itself if I didn't do anything wrong? That's my question.
And he despised coming unto you.
So, I'm not sure what you mean because it's too deep for me. But let me. So let me. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about Yom Kippur after.
Me too.
Yom Kippur. Yeah. Exactly. And you say, you know, when you're talking to someone in Esrei, why did we strike ourselves for, you know, twice? Because we just came out of Yom Kippur. Like, we didn't do anything wrong.
Sure. We already need Rashman.
Right, already then, like, so...
I would imagine the reason for that is probably we did do something wrong. Like, how long does it take to be, you know, to be doing Avera? After Yom Kippur, I would imagine
that.
Yeah, like Baruch Hashem, this is over. You know, that's it. Best up already, huh?
To teach us,
maybe. So let me just say what probably everybody's saying. I just want to say it in this language, that, and this is really the main sentence that I want to share here tonight. One can react, and one can respond. And they're two very different things. It's very easy to react. It's very difficult to respond. And what I mean by that is, a reaction is, you push this button, and this is what happens. Right? When you push Hashem's button and say, "Come on, have rachamim on us," He has rachamim on us. That's a reaction. But does that mean, give me this second, listen to me very carefully here. Does that mean that if one reacts with mercy, whether you take it on a godly level or on a human level, does that mean that the person is actually merciful or is just reacting in a merciful way? I'll tell you what I mean. And again, I said this is a little bit harsh, I warned you. but let's say, just as an example, let's say somebody comes to our door and, you know, looking for tzedakah. And it becomes obvious that this person had, I mean, a real thing, like, you know, it's obvious that it's late at night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and the person looks obviously hungry and obviously tired and maybe has a little child and that they obviously don't have clothes. The real thing, you know, it's a real rachmanus. It's a real rachmanus on this person. So we go ahead and we say, okay, I mean, it's late at night and it's really a difficult thing and I really don't have a lot of money, but you take out the 20 shekel or 50 shekel or whatever it is and you help this person out, you have rachmanus. That's rachamim. But that rachamim, that rachamim, we have to really be honest about this. Is that 20 shekel allowing that person to sleep better, or is it allowing us to sleep better? That 20 shekel is a reaction to our needs to give. So the need's a good need. It's a good need. If we were bad people, then we would just slam the door and we wouldn't have any rachmanis. No question about where we are, in the words of the Torah, rachmanim b'nei rachmanim. We have a tremendous amount of rachmanim. But the rachamim, that's a reaction to a situation. You see a horrible thing, and it's a rachamim jerker. it's a tear jerker. It brings out in me. So that's a beautiful thing that this brings out in me, and people that know at the other side of the door how to do this are very good at you know, somebody pushes that button, then I'm responding. I'm reacting, rather. If I'm doing that same act, not out of a not to serve my needs, not to make me feel better, but I'm doing it truly out of my rachamim for that person. So then, they're two good things, but they're two different midos. One is a reaction, and one is not a reaction. It's a response. Hashem means that Hashem has rachamim, For all the reasons that you said, when he created us, he created us with Rashi. He knew that this is going to be a struggle, this whole world. He knew that there is going to be a majority of human beings that will be created that will not listen to him and not do his will. He knew that it's going to be a rough go in trying to make for himself a dira b'tachtonim, the Shechina, to let the Shechina rest in this world. So he created the world with Rachamim. That was not a reaction to our plea for Rachamim. That was a part of the game plan. That was the program. It was a program of Rachamim. Meaning that it's not... The point here is that reaction is good, but not good enough. When we're talking about the very first Midah of Hashem, which is just Hashem, that he has rachamim, it's having rachamim when there's not even anything to have rachamim for. Having rachamim when it's not about anybody pushing me or pressuring me or emotionally, it's just, I have rachamim because that's what I am, I have rachamim. I created you with rachamim. So that would mean, here's the nafkamina. Let's say, the person on the other, go back to my metaphor of the person on the other side of the door, and you really have rachmanis, so you bring them in and you say, look, you look hungry, and you take something out of the refrigerator and you put it into the microwave and you put it on the table, please eat. And let's say the person would look up and say, wait, you're giving me leftovers from Shabbos? It's like, Ari, don't you have any fresh? Don't you have any fresh food? And I really don't like my chicken that way. I really prefer it breaded. And as a person, just really abuses the situation that they're in. So you will notice a remarkable thing take place. The rachamim evaporates very, very quickly because my button ceases to be pushed. my reaction will change so quickly in an about face that I won't, not only will I not have rachamim, but I will probably have to control myself from throwing the person out of the house, because the chutzpah, don't you see that I'm helping you? Don't you see that I'm treating you better than everybody is treating you? Now, we all have this all the time, maybe not to such an extreme, but when you dig deep, and let's say a 5 shekel is a lot of money, and for you, I mean, everybody has their capacity, right? Let's say 5 shekel, and you give the 5 shekel, and the person says, 5 shekel? Like, you're giving me 5 shekel? Like, I mean, didn't you hear me when I said that I'm making a wedding tomorrow night? I just had this conversation like 10 minutes ago. What are you deaf? I showed you a letter of my Braunstorfer and everything. Like, what's your problem? The rachamim dissipates because of the chutzpah. The rachamim dissipates because of the chutzpah. The rachamim that dissipates because of the chutzpah is rachamim 2. Wow. Rachamim 1 will never go away. Because Rachamim 1 is not a reaction. Rachamim 1 is what I am. And if my belief is that I have to take care of this person, that's what my mind tells me, that's what my heart tells me, that's what my neshama tells me, then it doesn't make any difference how you're acting, and it doesn't make any difference how much you appreciate it, and it doesn't make any difference how much chutzpah you have. Because the fact of the matter is, Hashem, Hashem. Ani Hashem, words of the Gemara, Lashanisi, I don't change because of something you do. In other words, there's no way that the person on the other side of the door is going to make me into a better person or a worse person. So that's the rachamim of Kodem Achet is a much more remarkable rachamim than the rachamim after the Chet. Just 1 second.
So which one is the response and which is the reaction?
So the second one is a reaction. Obviously, because it's achar achet. It's a reaction to achet, and Hashem has rachamim. Meaning, do you notice that really, the way the world was designed originally was, as soon as we do achet, we're out. Like, we don't. Adam Arishon did achet. I said on Shabbos, Adam Arishon, lived 1,000 years. That's 1/6 of the length of the world. And we know one thing about him, that he did a chet. So we don't know anything else about Adam Harishon. There's one thing, he did a chet. Gazar Elov Misa, and all through the Torah, it was very, very clear. You did a chet, you're out. Okay, so Hashem decided to, Hashem has rachamim, so he decided not to end the world at that point. But if you look at the Midrashim and at the Gemara, Adam Harishon was absolutely sure that the world is going to go back to tohu vavohu. Null and void, like delete, backspace, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Because if we're not going to do our job in this world, so then we should really not be here. I'm going to explain in a minute why Hashem has this rachamim. Maybe we shouldn't be here. Maybe all right, forgive us. Look, I'm talking here to the tzaddikim. You know, we're all good people. We all should be here. We're, you know, halavai, like 10% of the world's population was like everybody in this room. But the majority of people are really not doing much good for the world. I mean, when you think about it, when you think about the millions and millions of people, but it's rachamim. It's rachamim. I don't even mean because they're not religious, you know, or they're not keeping mitzvahs. They're just not doing good. They're damaging. You know, a lot of people are damaging. But Hashem allows them to continue to survive. That's the rachamim in the bria is because Hashem has rachamim, and it's not about a reaction. It's, why do I call it a response? I'm saying it's a response because it's my plan to have rachamim. It's me that's having rachamim, which is much more intrinsic than the rachamim of a reaction. The rachamim of a reaction is, you know, something can bring out an emotion in me. It can be a movie, it can be a person, it can be a speech, it can be a song, a poem, things, a piece of art. Things can bring out reactions in me, emotional reactions. Nice. But that's not what I am yet. That's not what I am. That just means that I'm being stimulated to rachamim. The rachamim A... is the rachamim, which is the essence of Hashem. The essence of Hashem. So Hashem means, and this is really what I want to explain tonight, Hashem means that there's a new level of rachamim in the first midah, and that rachamim is intrinsic to Hashem, and it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with us, it has nothing to do with our pleas, it has nothing to do with the fact that we're nevuchs. You know, it's not about that. It's just that rachamim. Okay, so in what happened, I explained last week, is that Hashem introduced his 13 mitos, Hashem, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and as they were absorbed through the generations and rephrased and reinterpreted, because the Nevi'im, the prophets, understood that this was the key to humanity. Because the key to humanity is being true to our own design. It's sad if a person is not true to their own design. I want you to appreciate this. It's a sad thing. It's like, it would be like if somebody would it would be like if you would buy somebody a you know, like a beautiful gift, let's say a new iPad. And like, you know, you really spent money and you brought it from America and you sneaked it through the customs and you did everything and you bring it to this person, iPad, like it's beautiful iPad, and they use it as a to keep their door open, or as a paperweight, you know, that's a very sad thing, because this is something that can change your life. I'm giving you a life-altering tool. I'm giving you something which is going to make you organized and happy. I'm giving you something which is going to bring spirituality and love into your life. I'm giving you. I don't give it. It's a computer. You know, and you're using it. So with us, like, if Hashem gives us all of this unbelievable capacity, i.e. that we're designed in his image, b'tzalmai k'dmusai, and then we use it to, you know, like our whole, like, what are we using all of our kochos for? We have all these kochos. We have the unbelievable kochos that we have, rachum, v'chanun, and erachapai. We have all these unbelievable kochos. What are we using it for? You know, I don't know, for nothing. we're using it to make money. we're using it to you know, then it's sad. It's a sad thing because we're designed in Hashem's image for a reason. So the chait is a so the Nevi'im understood that this is the grasping this is grasping all of Kabbalah. Grasping this is grasping all of theology and all of Torah. The Nevi'im over and over again interpreted this and reinterpreted it and said it in different words. Like, what is it that we are supposed to do? And these midos, you know, it's just so interesting because the Rambam says Hilchos Tshuva. Hilchos Tshuva tells you what to do, how to do Tshuva. But at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says like a little... There's a little schmooze there, and he says that it's all good. He says you'll find a lot of people doing tshuva because they did this avera, they did that avera, they spoke lashon hara, they were dishonest, whatever they did, they ate some treif. They'll do tshuva. Very few people are willing to change their midos. Is the Rambam. People are willing to change. Let me put it in my words. People are willing to change what they do, but they're very, 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 very seldom are they willing to change what they are. Very, very seldom are they willing to transform themselves into not just a different type of a person, but transform themselves into what they're really supposed to be, into what they are. So this is the importance of this. So as the Nevi'im, as this trickled down and came more down to earth from Har Sinai down to earth, so it ends up that one of the last prophets was Micha, and Micha translated. The Hashem, the first Hashem, Hashem A. I sound like a dualist. There's only one Hashem, but there's two aspects of Rachamim of Hashem. So he Micha, the prophet, translated the first Hashem, everything that I just said, as Mikel Kamocha. Who is God like you? And now this Talmud Dvar is going to comment. But so everything I said now is introduction. Now let's learn inside. Ha'echad, the first midah of Hashem, Mikel Kamocha. Right? Micha said, who is a Kel like you? No, say, Avain over al Pesha. Who's like you? Mora, this teaches you, if you can follow inside, it's very, very helpful. Mora, where is it? I don't have the same book as you, but let me just look at it. Page 2. Mora, this teaches us. Now, here's a concept which might be new to you, but it's not at all a new concept because it's the Zohar. It's a very Zoharic concept. Mora al Hayyos Hakadosh Baruch Hu Melech Ne'elav. That we need to understand that. Just in our grasp of things, as much as we can possibly understand these type of things, that Hashem is Melech Ne'elav. He's an offended king. Offended. Ne'elav. You know this word? Ne'elav. Sovel Elbom. He's tolerating a tremendous amount of offense. Mashaloy Chileu Ryan, which is almost impossible to grasp. What's God so offended about? What's he so offended about? And the answer is simple. Hashem sees everything, that's for sure. Va'od, and furthermore, Ein regash lo yia odom nizon umiskayem mikoach elyon ashefei alav. There is not a moment that goes by in our lives, not even this moment that we're here right now, shelo yia odom, where a person is not being sustained and being allowed to exist. Mikoach Elyon Hashefei Alav. Important principle that Hashem didn't just create mankind and leave, or he didn't just create us and walk away. Every second, he's involved with every second. The fact that we're alive and still alive and still alive and still alive and still breathing and still breathing every single second is because we're plugged in. You know, it's an ongoing, constant thing. We have to understand this. We have this plug, and we're plugged in. It means. If I shut off the lights go off. It takes a second, the light's off. it's finished. The light is not an independent concept. The light, it has to be tied into the electricity, which has to be tied into the street electricity, which has to be tied into the generators. It has to be generated, and somebody somewhere along the line, somewhere in the Negev or something, is pedaling that bicycle, which is giving us light. So the minute that that stops anywhere along the line, there's no light. It just takes a second, and there's no light, blackout. So we have to understand that there isn't a moment of our lives that we can exist without Hashem giving us this energy every second. It's not a one-time thing, or I took care of that yesterday, or when you were born. It's ongoing. V'harei. So it comes out that if Hashem sees everything, and if Hashem is constantly generating the energy to keep us alive, Harei Timsa comes out, Shemi Olam L'chat Adam Negdo, that it would be impossible for a person to sin against Hashem, Shloye Hubo Sarega Mamash Shafelo Shefak Yumo to Nosei Varv. Who's giving us the koach to sin? Who's giving us the koach to steal? Who's giving us the koach? If we would, you know, if somebody's a you know, an axe murderer, that was hope. Axe, you know, who's giving him the koach? Does he have an independent source of koach? His own generator in his pocket? It's all coming from Hashem at this moment. So it's like an unbelievable thing. It's not so unbelievable that if I'm giving tzedakah, or I'm doing good things, or I'm teaching Torah, or I'm learning Torah. It's not so unbelievable that Hashem's giving me koach. But it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable a little bit why he's not giving me koach. But it is unbelievable that I should be doing something which is anti Hashem, and he's being mefarneset. That's unbelievable. And says the Tamar Dvara, it's impossible. Shmeolam lechata adam negdoi. You cannot violate his will. Shaloi yehehu ba'oso arega. In a way that it's not him, meaning Hashem, at that moment, mamish shoveyal of shefa kiyumo, Hashem is mamish showering us with existence, with the gift of existence, utznuas evarav, and the ability of movement, the freedom of movement. Mimheyo she'adam chote b'koach ahu, and even though a person is being chote with this energy, le'manu mimenu klal, Hashem doesn't stop the energy from the flow of energy from coming. Why not? That's a good question. Why not? Wouldn't it be good if Hashem would stop the energy from some of the Rishonim? But he doesn't. He keeps the energy flowing, whether it's a small sin, whether it's a big sin. Right? I mean, the Rishonim of this world also had energy. They also had energy. From where? Why? El Sovel. So this means Sovel HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Bein Kazeh. This is what the Kabbalistic term means. When it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sovel Elpon, he's an offended Hashem, offended in the sense that I'm giving, this is the ultimate in biting the hand that feeds you. The ultimate. It's like, you know, it would be one thing, let's say, that if we work for a corporation and let's say we use the telephone for our own personal needs and run up a bill for the company. That's bad. Company's paying me, the company's paying for the telephone, the company's taking care of me, and I'm violating the company. It's even a worse idea. It's ugly, it's repulsive if the person is using the company telephone to feed information to the competition and hurt the company, right? Like that's a real chet. That's a real aver. It's a real chutzpah. And certainly, it would be the correct thing for the company, if they would know about this, to say, okay, nice knowing you, right? You're gone. I mean, you know, we're probably all familiar with this kind of a situation. If you bite the hand that feeds you, that kind of a chutzpah requires nothing less than termination of energy source. So simple as that. You know, it's termination of energy source. So it would follow that in the large corporation called the Olam, the world, that if we violate the company rules, if we violate the Torah, it should follow that we should be cut off. And it's even more. I can't even think of an example which is as close to. Which is close enough to this, because it's even more that the very dialing of the phone, the very koach hadibur, is all coming from Hashem. Everything that I'm I'm doing and everything that I'm saying is coming from. So if a person uses this energy to go against Hashem, tremendous chutzpah. So on this we say, what about that? We say it's a big chutzpah, but Mikael Kamocha, nothing like you, God. It's an amazing thing that you allow us to continue to do whatever it is that we want to do. You allow us to continue, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sovil. Did I skip a line? V'hu adam motzi osa koach b'osar ega b'chet v'avon. Person uses the koach that he's getting for chet and for avon. U'machis, and he causes anger. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sovil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tolerating this.
Is waiting for tshuva?
Maybe. Let's leave the why for another minute. Like, why he does this. But just to know the fact, just to think about it for a moment. Now, the truth be told, that it's not so simple. Because, there is, a little bit of a Kabbalistic concept here, is that there are various sources of energy in the Shemayim. There are different generators, if you will, between, that all comes from Hashem. But there are different paths for our energy to come. And the truth be told, that there's an energy of Kedusha, and there's an energy of Or, and there's an energy which Mekubalim call the Sitra Achra, or the other side. So if you would imagine that when a person, you're not getting the same energy. There's an energy of Tumah. When a person is doing something wrong, So you get there's the energy is coming from a bit of a, in a different path. It's just important to know. It's coming from Hashem, but it's coming in a different path. It's not coming the same path that the tzaddikim get their energy from. And this makes a big difference. It means that if a person would be talking divrei Torah, so you're plugged into an energy source which is kulei kadosh and kulei tahor and complete or. It's just everything is very, very clean and healthy and beautiful. And then in the middle of my divrei Torah, I switch to speak some gossip or something. I just can't resist. So at that moment, that split second, the plug comes out of here and goes into there, and I'm getting now my koach from the Sidra Achra. So you say, well, feels okay. All right. the more you learn about this, the less you want to be there. It's
Hashem created the Sitra Achra.
Created a Sidrach of two different systems.
Because?
But you see, the Koach of Tumah, all the people that can do Kishuf and do all of these things, they're getting their Koach from the Sidrach, because this is how Hashem sets up his Rachamim.
It's all being powered by Hashem.
So Hashem in the box. Why is it bad?
I'm assuming it's bad that you said something more about it.
Okay, so keep coming. Only so much I can say in the next 3 minutes, but I just want to throw that out there, that there is a difference. But the fact of the matter is that the energy source is coming from Hashem. So what does it really mean? It means that the rachamim, in other words, the if Hashem would be reacting, so then we wouldn't last. It would be too much of a chutzpah. It would be like us. But if Hashem is not reacting, he's creating a program. And the program understands to begin with that there's going to be a struggle. And the program understands to begin with that there's going to be times when I'm going to be doing good, and there's going to be times that I'm going to slip and I'm going to be doing not so good. So it's built into the box, is built in this rachamim. That's the in other words, the Mikael Kamocha is wild, because what it means is that he's built in a rachamim, which he's built into the system a way that he can create us, give us something to do, give us mitzvahs, give us a purpose for creation. We can violate it, and we can keep on going.
But and he quote unquote should do that, because he created the Sitra Achra also.
Well,
he set us up to failure.
So what did he do? No, the Sitra Achra doesn't cause us to fail. Sitra Achra is a source of energy when we're doing negative things. But the only thing that causes us to do bad is us. So we make bad choices, that's why. But if a person makes a bad choice, they make a bad choice. In the legal world, if you make a bad choice, person decides to steal, to kill, to, you know, you're finished. You don't get necessarily a second chance. A little bit of rachamim, maybe, if you can push the buttons. But here, the rachamim is built into the bria. So that's the response with the program. I'm running out of time, so let me sum it up with this. The whole point of this is not to understand the theology of God. It's not to understand how Hashem works. It's to understand that we are meant, that Hashem is the mentor, and the essence of this teaching is, meaning the teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu and of Micha the Navi, is that we have to emulate Hashem. And the emulation is such that we are capable, something that I didn't know that I was capable of this until I learned it. I still have a hard time with it, but we are capable not only of Hashem 2, we're capable of Hashem 1. That's the chiddush here. We're capable of the following. We're capable of not being reactive people. You see, if we are going to, as good as we are, if we're going to react to situations, that means that we're letting everybody else with their insults control us. It means that we're not independent people, we're controlled people. If I lose my temper every time somebody pushes that button, so that means I'm the worst type of a slave. I'm the most unfree person. I am completely dominated and manipulated by the person or any person that's causing me to lose my temper. So it means to say that even if my response is a response of rachamim, even if my response is a response of rachamim, which is a good thing, it's still the wrong response, or it's not a good enough response, it's not a godly response. Because the godly response is that my rachamim is intrinsic to me. My rachamim is part and parcel to who I am. And if we're going to emulate Hashem, means to say that we have to have this so clear. The way you know if you have this is if you encounter the kind of chutzpah that God encounters and you react the way that God reacts. Meaning, Ani Hashem kodem achet, Ani Hashem achra achet, lo shanisi. I don't change because of you. Rachamim is an intrinsic quality of Hashem. Doesn't change because of anybody or anything that we do. You know, there's no such thing as like, I had enough. So let me just spend 1 minute to talk about why, which you understand, but I want to speak it up. That, you see, it's, if we have been, as individuals, as humans, if we have been violated in some way, it's within our right to say, you know, and it is very popular, by the way, we're conditioned, we're taught to say, like, you know, don't, you know, just stay away from me. Don't, you violated me, I was nice to you, you were nice back, you know, you took advantage of me, whatever it is, you know, why are you calling me? That's within our rights to say. We could say that. We're allowed to say that. We don't have to let anybody be abusive to us. However, what's a more godly thing to do is perhaps to push the person away, but not because they have caused me to react, but because that's the right thing to do. So one has to achieve to be like, if there's anything we know about Hashem, it's that he's the boss. If there's anything we know about us being like Hashem, is that we have free choice. And having free choice means we're the boss. So if we're the boss, we will decide whether it's appropriate to push you out of my life or to bring you into my life or to have do chesed or not do chesed. So the first, the aleph base, not the aleph base, the aleph of emulating Hashem is the word Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Now, the Yudkei Vavkei is Benister, as I said at the beginning. That's a hidden name of Hashem. We don't always see the rachamim of Hashem. Sometimes Hashem seems pretty tough, but so we don't pronounce something which we don't really see all the time. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. It's too much to say that we always see. So we see Adonai. We see Hashem is in charge of everything. That's what Adonai means. Yudkei Vavkei means he always has rachamim. We don't see it, but we know it. We hover over that word. We just don't pronounce the word, right? We know it on a deeper level because it's benister. The reason is In Hashem's case, the reason is because we can do tshuva, right? Because we can, by him having rachamim. In other words, the idea here is Hashem's idea would be, I'm not going to smack you because you bit my hand. What I'm going to do is, I'm also not going to just let you hurt me, but I'm going to, in a controlled way, I'm going to let this go, because I think that there's a possibility that down the line you'll choose correctly. So we understand this with Hashem because we're all in this situation. We all either articulate or think, or on a conscious or unconscious level, we will all from time to time think that, look, eventually I'll get there, I'll be okay, don't like have rough moments in the meantime. We can understand this. What's harder is when it comes to us acting that way. Sometimes, like, I don't want to get personal, but I just know this from talking to a lot of people. Like, sometimes these violations of a relationship can, like I say, it's a person's right to say, I don't need to be hurt by you. But sometimes these violations, with a lot of patience and a lot of work and a lot of, soul searching, can bring to a much better place than it would have been without the violation. Like, it's very possible that this requires time, and it changes the, because, like, what goes wrong in relationships? Most often, it's ridiculous expectations. Not usually people are terrible people, just ridiculous expectations from another, from let's say a spouse or even a child, or a child to a parent. We're all mixed up with relationships. I think people get married, they want their wife to be their mother, and their husband to be their father, and they want your son to be your father, and your father to be your son, and whatever I'm like missing in my life, that's what I want you to be. And if you're not like that, I get angry at you. What kind of person are you? why aren't you acting like my mother right now? Because I'm not your mother, I'm your wife. There's a tremendous amount of confusion, I think, in relationships, and what happens is expectations are very, very not high, I would say. If you listen to people's expectations and ta'anut on the other person, they're ridiculous expectations. If it would just be your friend, you wouldn't have such expectations. There's this expectation that you're supposed to know my every thought and be sensitive to my every feeling. It's ridiculous. So if we would expect so much less, so things would be a lot better. It's a good thing to just lower the expectation. Just a tip. It's a good thing to lower the expectation level of everybody all around you. Just chill out a little bit. It's okay. But what happens is when there is a violation, so then that is a reality check to what one can expect from the person that they are dealing with. Now, sometimes it is a true violation, and you just have to get rid of that person. No question about it. But most often it's not. Most often it just wakes us up to reality, and we realize that so I can't expect this from you. And what happens? The relationship gets better. It doesn't get worse. It gets better when one realizes, when one adjusts their expectations. Just as an example, I'm just giving you an example of somehow or another, with a lot of soul searching and hard work, things can adjust through these violations. We don't design them, but if it happens, it can adjust to get things better. So Hashem says, it's such a fascinating thing, that it's possible to do a chet, and then it's possible to even live a life of chet, and then do tshuva, and then all of a sudden all those chatoyim became good things. It's a mind-boggling idea, but it's all over the Torah. It's the basics of tshuva, that zedonos nasik eschuyos, that you're averus when you do correct tshuva, your averus become mitzvahs. So what kind of hocus pocus is that? That your averus become mitzvahs? Sounds like too big of a gift. Enough that my averus should not be averus. They don't have to become mitzvahs. The answer is that all of those things, if they are channeled correctly, can actually turn into a very positive force. I want you to try to understand this. It's a very important message, and I think this is the message of the Talmud Torah here, that Hashem will have this kind of rachamim a It's rachamim because Hashem understands in his infinite wisdom, Hashem understands that I have to allow this thing to play out. So same thing as if we are going to emulate Hashem, we have to allow things to play out. So there's a tremendous amount of patience involved and a tremendous amount of understanding things and a tremendous amount of not allowing other people to manipulate what we do, what we are, and cause us to react. Even if it's a good reaction. Even if it's a good reaction, it has to be me, not the person who's causing me to react. And that's the first midah. So what we learned today is one word, Hashem. Hashem. But Hashem A, Kodem Ached, not Hashem B. Thank you very much.